to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and today is a very cool day. I have with me a guest. His name is Sebastian Rusk. He is all about podcasts. And so I thought, you know what? Listen, I'm doing a podcast, so bringing on an expert is going to be something that helps me. Anybody out there that is thinking about doing a podcast, you're going to learn from today. And listen, I will give you the backstory on this. And Sebastian, you're the expert, and I'm here to find out from you. But you've got to listen to my story first, because it's my podcast, and I get to do that.
Let's do it.
But back in January, I was at a National Speakers Association Pittsburgh chapter meeting, and a guy named Tom Singer came in and talked about podcasts. And I'm like, I have wanted to do a podcast for a long time. And his podcast is called like Cool Things Entrepreneurs Do. And he talked about it, talked about what he's able to do with it. And I'm like, yeah, this is great. Let's do this. And then reality hit. And it's just like, I don't have time. I'm speaking, I'm marketing, I'm doing all these things. And then when COVID came, it's like, well, you remember all that time that you didn't have? Well, now you do. So starting in April, opened up my own podcast, doing two episodes a week. It's been great. This is going to be episode number 35. So I'm excited about it. Yet at the same time, I also feel like, man, there's so much that's going on, so much I can learn to do even better at this. So I'm excited personally to have you on today. And I'm hoping that anyone who is out there thinking about doing their own podcast can learn. All that to say this, Sebastian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob. I really appreciate you having me and taking some time to hang out with me for a few minutes to hear what I've learned over the past 10 years about this wonderful world of podcasting. I hear great things about Tom Singer, very familiar with NSA too. So completely in alignment with both of the things you just mentioned there.
Fantastic. So I'm just going to start right here with this. You've been doing this for 10 years. How did you get started? What was it like back 10 years ago when you were doing episode number 1, 2, 3, 4, 35 and getting started yourself?
It was very comparable to having a billboard in the middle of the woods. Very comparable, because not only was social media brand new, but podcasting was brand new. My dad spent 29 years in radio and I grew up in the radio station. I had no desire to get into the radio business because I wanted to maintain control. And well, radio just doesn't provide that. But I knew podcasting would eventually someday. And I wanted to have an internet radio show. So I started on a platform called Blog Talk Radio. And Blog Talk Radio allowed me to have my own radio show for $40 a month that people could call in and I could, you know, put different jingles on. I could put people on hold and people could, you know, I could have callers on the show and then I get the archive after and I could go and create a podcast out of it. So I found that extremely effective. Launched that in 2011. And then a local radio station, an AM radio station, approached me and said, hey, listen, you know, we need some help with our social media and we know that you have a podcast. Would you be interested in bringing that podcast to our station? So of course, the whole like excitement of having a radio show was the initial thought process. And then I showed up at the radio station and it had, you know, wood panel walls and, you know, signs from, you know, the 80s. And it was clearly an outdated establishment, to say the least. And so I did bring my show there for a little bit, but a couple things that I learned was that I had to be there every Friday at 4 o'clock. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend my Fridays in a radio station at 4 o'clock. Number one. Number two, had to be live. And if it wasn't live, you had to do a replay. And then it took forever to get the actual recording of the episode so I can go turn it into a podcast. Like I think they gave it to me on a CD.
Right.
And one day I had a disagreement with the station manager because he said that I should be talking about the entire station as a whole pertaining to social media. And I'm like, I'm not here to do that, but I'm here to have my show and help you guys make sure you're doing what you're doing. And we disagreed. I go, you know what? You may want to fill this 4 p.m. slot because I'm out of here. You're like, what do you mean out of here? I'm like, that means the show doesn't happen on the station anymore. And I went back to the drawing board and I said, it's just easier to have a podcast because I control it all. So I continued to do that. And then I stopped the show again. And then in 2016, started to get really serious about podcasting as I had a friend challenge me to create a solution to help people start a podcast. And I thought, well, I better restart the show. I better stay serious about it. And then I can start spreading the gospel as far as me being able to help marketers and entrepreneurs start a podcast in 90 days or less with my podcast Launch Lab, done for you, done with you solution. So I continue to podcast. I've stuck with it ever since. The show is mildly consistent throughout the month. I drop between 2 and 4 episodes. And I just wrote a book about podcasting, my second book called Podcasts Suck. If you don't have one, that's the reason for the shirt. Some that catches people off guard sometimes. And I continue to further my speaking and also my MC business. I do a lot more MC and hosting work than I do speaking, but I do a good hybrid of both. Speaking about storytelling with a podcast and then, you know, kind of being the hype guy for the live events. And as a speaker, you know exactly what an MC's role is. So yeah, been at this for about 10 years now, and I feel like I'm just getting started, but I've really found my niche in the world of the digital landscape, if you will. And I firmly believe that we're in the middle of an audio era, and we will be for the next 10 to 15 years with everything that's on the rise with Alexa and AI and how everything else is, you know, we can dictate via our voice. That's making life a lot more frictionless, along with podcasting. And then, of course, we see what's taking place on the landscape with Spotify acquiring shows like Joe Rogan for a ludicrous amount of money. And these are large moves happening. This stuff is not going anywhere. And I'm just really stoked to be in the mix of it.
You know, it's so interesting that because 10 years ago, I came out with my first book, which was Still Walking. And I went out and was doing a lot of marketing with that. And the marketing, some of it, I got a chance to be on a couple traditional radio stations, but Blog Talk Radio was huge. And it was one of the places where I got, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 interviews with folks who were on there. And it was so interesting. I was actually just yesterday was going through, and I have the recordings of those episodes, and I listened to a couple of them, and most of them were pretty good, and a couple of them were cringeworthy. But even in that, I remember there was one of the folks that I worked with through Blog Talk Radio and did an interview with, did exactly what you were talking about, in which their show was syndicated on like 3 or 4 AM radio stations. And it was an opportunity to get out there. And what I realized is this, that radio stations have airtime, like, and their goal is to fill airtime.
You got a lot of it right now.
Yeah. And at the same time, folks have, like you and me, we've got some content. We've got, and I realized this. Going on a big podcast, going on a larger podcast, is far more effective for marketing than it is to go on, you know, an AM radio station. Your 4 o'clock spot probably was really good, but what she was getting as far as syndication is like 2:30 a.m. And so the audience in Paducah, Illinois, no slight against Paducah, that's listening at 2:30 in the morning, not really interested in buying a whole lot of my books.
Right.
But so I've got the other side of the experience in which I'm going on podcasts. And tell me then a little bit, when you're coming up with the idea of how do I teach people to do a podcast, is this something that is... is it very expensive? Is it really time consuming? What's the startup cost and the startup effort like?
Well, you know, I always like to say I'm not the most expensive and I'm not the most affordable. I feel that the value is in the actual program of being able to go from idea to iTunes in 90 days or less. Our ideal target market client is marketers and entrepreneurs. I guess if we put a subcategory there, it would be authors, speakers, coaches, people of authority that know that their natural next step is to start a podcast. So it's a done for you, done with you coaching podcast launch solution. So it's a hybrid of a couple of different things. They get the coaching, they get the done for your production and the actual program that allows them to go and make their show a reality in 90 days or less. A program currently runs for $3,000 for 90 days and discounted it down a little bit because of, well, you know, the Rona. So I figured, you know, help some folks out because everyone and their brother seems to have an interest now in creating content because everyone's, you know, stuck at home. So, That seems to, and the program's working out extremely well for people. We're launching shows literally on a weekly basis, and the goal here is to get 100 shows launched. Started the company 4 years ago, spent 18 months trying to figure out who my ideal client was, got real dialed in with that at the end of last year, and decided let's just go all in and go convert an executive suite into a studio. And so that it's an actual place for people to go and we can work with clients and they can record and I can record and create content, et cetera. Well, then COVID hit and nobody was coming into the studio, but I still had the same opportunity to help people with me being in the studio and being able to create content, do interviews just like this and be all set up with camera and lights and gear and have a full blown studio. So, Yeah, once we've got those 100 shows launched, we then become a podcast network. And then once the podcast network is established, we're establishing relationships with sponsors and advertisers to play matchmaker with these shows that we've launched and help also with guest booking and research. So we're going to be a full service turnkey podcast launch solution / ongoing production solution. And so if you launch a podcast with us, you're part of the community and you're able to network with other podcasters and like-minded individuals. And I have a monthly mastermind group. So all of this came about based on the demands of my students going through the program. It used to be a 90-day program. And then, you know, I'd send you to a few freelancers that can help you take over and wish you the best. And then I realized that people don't want to go anywhere once they've launched the show. They want us to continue to produce the show. They want to stay in my sandbox. They want to hang out. They want to be part of the community. They want to network with other podcasters. So I created an ongoing solution. So we get the student up front, put them through the 90-day program, and they stay on with us monthly. We handle ongoing production. They have access to me, and then they also have access to the monthly mastermind too. So it's crazy how it's all just started to unfold. And normally, you're like creating solutions to go and sell your community. If you ask your community and you just shut up for a minute and listen, your community tells you exactly what they want to buy and you can create it based on what their needs are.
It's so funny to hear you say that. I remember I used to go, when I was going to an older doctor, he said that what he learned is if you listen to your patient long enough, they will tell you what's wrong. And then if you listen just a little bit longer, they will also tell you how to fix it. And so what you're talking about is listening to people, they'll tell you what's wrong, and then they'll tell you what it is that they want you to do to fix it, and then all you have to do is figure out how to do that. Brilliant strategy.
So the problem's listening. Yeah, we listen to better understand what we're going to say next instead of listening, like actually listening. Right? What is it? What God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason?
Of course. Well, that's actually really what this show is about. The concept of learning from smart people is bring on smart people, ask them questions, and then listen to what they have to say. And I really think that it's so important to understand. I think it was a guy named J.P. Moroney gave a quote that says, when the mind of man has been expanded by new thought, it can never retract to its original shape. And so we're always looking to expand people's minds. And, you know, this is a great opportunity. So if someone's thinking about doing a podcast and they say, wow, podcasting, it sounds really cool, but I'm intimidated by it. Like, what am I going to talk about? How am I going to figure out what to do as you're doing, you know, 4 times a month, as I'm doing 8, 10 times a month? Where do I come up with all this stuff? And how am I going to, like a radio station that we talked about, how am I going to fill the time on my podcast? What are your guidelines for those folks?
Well, first and foremost, when you decide you want to start a podcast, you've got to ask yourself one question. You've got to be able to answer that question explicitly clear to yourself, because if it's explicitly clear to you and those closest to you, it's going to be really clear to the people that are coming upon, you know, and discovering your show. And that is, why do I want to start a podcast? Really, why? Like, what is the goal behind all this? If your answer sounds something like, I've got a story to tell. I've got a story of going from here to there and overcoming something, and it's going to change people's lives. And I want to teach people how I did it. I want to provide value based on my brand and share free content with my community that doesn't cost them anything, that will just add continuous value to the end user without trying to sell them something. And then eventually, as the show starts to take traction, starts to gain traction and gain popularity, then we can focus on figuring out what it looks like to monetize the podcast. But once you get clear on your why, I've found more times than not, when you're clear about your why, it creates some sort of momentum in you. And it also creates, you know, a dab of accountability for yourself, because you're like, okay, now I know why I should do this. So if I don't do this, who's missing out on it? Well, the world is. And that just makes you a taker. And well, who wants to be a taker, right? So being able to realize that's the best way to get out of your own way, is to ask yourself, who's missing out on what I could be sharing because I can't get out of my own way? If you ask yourself that question real quick, it also creates some momentum for yourself. But once you start to get clear about why you want to start a podcast, then things start to flow. That's the magic of the creative process. Once you understand your why, then you're like, well, maybe I could call the show this. And then the intro would say this and describe the show as this, and I can interview people because I don't have the capability to fill enough space all by myself, which I absolutely never recommend doing. Do not start a podcast and think that you're just going to turn a microphone on and you're going to talk because, well, you think you're interesting. That's completely different from your audience actually feeling and absorbing your content and finding it interesting and valuable at the same time. So it's always 9 times out of 10 is going to be an interview format, very similar to what we're doing right here, right? We're on a Zoom call. I always tell my students, dumb it down. Schedule a video Zoom call with your next interview and just hit the record button. It's not a podcast interview. There's not this big planning. You don't have to go get your hair done and makeup and make sure everything's on. You want to be presentable when you're doing a podcast, if it's a video aspect on it, but it's not, it's a video call that you're having with people. So I think figuring out what you're going to talk about, I think that stuff starts to show up once you're clear about your why, on how you want to serve the world and you want to serve people and your community with starting a podcast. The name, I mean, they're a dime a dozen. And once you've got the name, well, the name goes right into the intro and the intro goes right into the first episode. The first episode's like, oh, then I can interview this person. And then that person knows that person. The next thing you know, you're 25, 30, like yourself, 35 episodes in. And you're like, wow, holy cow. All I did was show up at a, I almost said EO meeting, an NSA meeting in Pittsburgh and heard a guy named Tom Singer talk about podcasting. And here we are, right? So, it's kind of hard to explain how the process unfolds because it's so unpredictable. It just shows up, I've seen. And if it doesn't show up, well, then it's just not time to start a podcast. You just need to be with that for a little bit longer. And maybe you think you're clear about that why, but you need to be with that why a little bit more to make sure it really is resonating with you so that it'll in turn resonate with other people.
It's so interesting because you talked about the why and how Simon Sinek of you and, but in the at the same time, there's also the element of the who, right? And I was thinking about what you said. In some ways, you're talking about once you figure out why you're doing this and you have a purpose for it, then you have the understanding that, yeah, the whole world can benefit from this. But even more than that, when you're marketing, there's got to be a who that you are targeting as well. What are your thoughts on once you've established your why, finding your who?
Who are you selling your product to right now? Who buys your product? Who consumes your brand? Who buys from you? And if you have a day job, well, maybe a podcast isn't necessarily something you're looking to target an audience for. You're doing it as, I always like to say, starting a podcast with an off topic that complements what you do as a business is always a great idea too. For example, if you sell insurance, well, starting a podcast about college football, well, I don't know about this year, but may resonate with some people, and well, everyone has insurance, right? So trying to find that subcategory that still complements your brand that has nothing to do with your brand, but still, like, again, complements it, I think is a great strategy.
Okay, let me just ask you a couple nuts and bolts questions about this. You had talked about the fact that you've created a studio, and now are the folks that are doing the podcasting through your program, was the plan originally for them to come in and do all of the podcast recording in your studio, or is this recording from home, or what was the plan, and how are, in an ideal non-COVID pandemic world, what does it look like for you?
And you know, when people were allowed to leave our house and people, you know, they hug each other and shake hands and you see people again, typically then students are more than welcome to meet with me in the studio, more than welcome to come in. It's more, if someone's local here, chances are they're going to come in the studio, even if it is COVID here, you know, 6 feet apart, and get their, like, their intro and their outro knocked out, get, you know, some specific things, get their tonality dialed in and get all that stuff. I do a lot of that locally here. I can do it remotely too. It doesn't really matter. But what I've found is that COVID or not, it's more convenient to just record the podcast where you're at, get a mic set up, get it dialed in, plugged into Zoom, get a light in front of you, make sure you look presentable and record the episode and via Zoom. So I'm even finding that, you know, I haven't had any, I've had two students come in the past 90 days and record two episodes, and he was the same student and he lives around the corner. So
right.
It was like one of those deals where I wasn't in Saturday morning and he's a good buddy of mine. So I was like, just pick up the keys to the studio type deal. And he came in, recorded. I showed him how to use the board real quick. I came in the next day, was able to grab the files. So I got the little experience. I have gotten some calls about renting the studio, but man, it's just, this thing has become like my business man cave. And, I don't know that I want the general public in here. You know what I mean? Just because it's such a special place and it's really, really reserved for the students here. So I'm on Google as a podcast studio, so I do get calls, but I just tell people just like that. And sometimes I turn them into customers because they're like, we need a studio. I'm like, no, you don't.
It makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, for me, I'm using my home studio, right? And the equipment that's available today, I see you're using a Rode PodMic. I've got PodMic. I've got a Rodecaster Pro. I've got a ring light. I've got a webcam. And you put all that together, done deal. And it's not that overwhelmingly expensive to get it started. Now, the question then becomes, once you have the equipment, whether it's having somewhere like you've got where your folks are going into a studio or they're setting up a home studio, the cost on that is not outrageous. But then the question becomes about distribution. And I'm just curious, do you have a suggested platform for hosting? Do you have some ideas for folks as they're trying to find a host and get their podcast out there on all of the different platforms? What are your suggestions and tips there?
So there's more and more options becoming available on a daily, weekly, monthly basis with podcast hosts. They're popping up all over the place. Originally it was, SoundCloud and Libsyn and then Buzzsprout, and then Podbean came on, and there's a plethora of them out there.
Right.
I just shot a YouTube video yesterday for my YouTube channel, youtube.com/podcastlaunchlab, # shameless plug. And it is just that topic, the three recommendations of a podcast hosting site, and three of them were Libsyn, Buzzsprout, and I just recently switched to Simplecast, just like it sounds, simplecast.com. They're all going to run you between $10 and $40 a month, contingent upon what you need. If you're just getting started and you're tootling around with this and trying to figure it all out and you don't even know about podcasting, but you want to just take a stab at it and like get yourself in the game, Anchor is the answer for you. When you're just beginning, anchor.fm is without a shout. You can create a podcast, record a podcast, record an intro, produce your podcast, promote your podcast, monetize your podcast, and you've got a podcast website, and they make it an absolute no-brainer. So if you're just getting started, Anchor is the way to go. Most podcasters would say don't use Anchor, but that's baloney, because if you're a beginner, you've got to start somewhere. And you can always migrate away from Anchor to an actual podcast host like Libsyn or Buzzsprout or Simplecast. The main reason that you want obviously you need a podcast host, because once you record an episode and edit it, it has to live somewhere. So a podcast host is unavoidable. If you want to do it for free, you can do it on SoundCloud. You're extremely limited, or you can do it on Anchor, that has a little bit more more options available.
Yeah, it's got a more robust user interface. I know I use Anchor, and Anchor, as you said, it's free, and it makes it super easy. And then for folks that aren't familiar with this, Anchor, and you can talk about this probably in better detail than I can, but Anchor then interfaces. They have a feed that goes out, and you direct that to Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and
helps Spotify. You out with distribution, right?
Yeah,
exactly. So those are the main things that you want with a podcast host, is to make sure that, number one, it's a place to host it. It's easy to use. The user interface is easy to use. But more importantly, they've got several distribution channels that'll enable you to make sure that your show is getting distributed to as many listening platforms as possible, like iTunes and Spotify and iHeartRadio and the other dozen out there that are available. And then the last thing that I think is important with a podcast host is making sure that they provide you a pretty solid podcast website that's easy to navigate around, that you can register your own domain name with, and you can point people right to your podcast website from your podcast host, and they can listen to episodes and they can subscribe to your show. And it's a one-stop shop. You don't ever want to just send iTunes or Spotify or one specific or Google Podcasts with a specific link for people. Cause hey, listen, if I'm not a Spotify user, it's that link is no use to me. But if I can go to your website and click subscribe, and there's Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, there's a plethora of options available. I can choose which one works best for me.
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense. And for me, I've got my own website that I take care of it's not linked to my host, but it's got everything. It automatically updates. It's got the subscribe. And as you said, it's very important, because what you're trying to do is develop in some ways a loyalty to yourself, and not a loyalty to everything else that's out there. So tell me then, yeah, actually, let me just make a side comment on this, because as someone who does some podcast guesting as well, folks will tell me things like, you know, as far as my audience, I'm on iHeartRadio, I'm on Apple iTunes, I'm on all of these things, and we have a potential audience of, you know, billions. And I know this, I'm 35 episodes in, and I'm also able to get mine on iHeartRadio and all of these different places. And even though it sounds really impressive, it's not that hard to do as long as you know what you're doing. And what I'm assuming is that you are really flattening the learning curve, to cross over two metaphors, shortening the learning curve, flattening the learning curve, whatever it is, that's the kind of service that you're offering to help folks get where they want to be a lot quicker than if they were out there doing all the research on their own.
Yeah. I mean, chances are, you know, I can go to court and defend myself. I can change the oil in my Camaro if I really wanted to. I'm just not going to do it because there are people that are better skilled at those tasks that I can hire to do it. So number one, number two, the accountability part, I don't let you off the hook and I don't buy into any of your BS. Like, I tell you exactly like it is so that I can help you get to where you want to be. And that's what I found extremely valuable from my community of students saying, listen, this guy keeps us on our toes and empowers us and encourages us to believe in ourselves so that we can get to the finish line of actually launching our show. And his system helps us do that. His coaching allows us to do that. He's patient with us, which is kind of rare. That's not really a personality trait of mine, but it worked out okay in business.
As long as it works. Hey, Sebastian, I really appreciate you being on the show today. If people are looking to find out more about your program, what's your website and where can they find you?
I'd love to chat with anybody. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, I'd love to have a short conversation with you about what that looks like. You can go to podcastlaunchlabnow.com and you can book a call with myself. I'll go right to my calendar and we can hop on the phone and talk about making your podcasting dreams come true. I spend a lot of my time on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and on Facebook. You can search for me by name, Sebastian Rusk. You can also follow the Podcast Launch Lab on all of those platforms too. And I look forward to connecting with your audience. Thanks for taking some time. Thanks for, this is like a last minute thing. I love that you reach out yesterday. You're like, hey, are you down tomorrow morning? I'm like, let's go. Always ready.
It's beautiful. I had someone else fall through, but it all worked out. Hey, you have indeed established that you are smart. I have definitely learned from you. Now it is time for my favorite part. We establish your personhood with three questions to establish your humanity. You ready for this, my friend?
Uh-oh, I'm going to get arrested.
No, this is super easy. So you're down in Miami, right?
I sure am.
Okay, so if I'm coming to visit you in Miami, what restaurant is it that you are, well, apparently we're getting takeout from at this point in time, although Florida might be open a little bit more than Pennsylvania is, what are we eating that you would say this is something that you can only get in Miami and it's the best thing that we can eat here?
Well, it's not only available in Miami, it's just better in Miami. And the obvious choice there with outdoor seating would be Cuban food.
All right. So you're doing like the Cuban sandwich?
Hey, listen, whatever you want. We can go ropa viejo. You can do the skirt steak. You can do the Cuban sandwich, the croqueta sandwich. I mean, the list goes on and on. Chicken soup is one of a kind.
You say ropa viejo and it melts my heart. It's wonderful. And for those of you not familiar with it, go look it up. Don't be thrown off by the name, because the name means old clothes. It actually is just super tender, super soft, well cooked, well flavored, well seasoned. And I'm salivating. All right,
it's almost like a Cuban. It's almost like a Cuban pot roast minus the carrots and mirepoix. It's more onions, peppers, and just, I mean, yeah, indescribable. But it's the same type of pull of like beef. Oh. I don't know what I'm having for lunch.
And yeah. All right, Sebastian, is there a piece of advice that you would give yourself from 10 years ago when you were getting started that you feel like would have really been helpful?
It takes longer than you think.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense. And last question, if you're in Miami where it's like the vacation hub of the world and it's your turn to go on vacation, where are you going on vacation from Miami?
Anywhere north or south. The Florida Keys are amazing. I spend a lot of time in Cocoa Beach, which is Central Florida. And yeah, try to keep it simple. I'm about, like, let's find a decent, clean hotel that's the closest to the sand as possible and park it for a couple days. That's my jam right there. It's my favorite thing to do.
So it's more about the time off than it is about the destination. I love it. Hey,
as long as there's water close by, I'm in.
Perfect. Sebastian, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I will remind everyone, as always, when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.